Welcome in to Hail Varsity's Views from the Other Side. Another week, another football game, another guest on to talk some Husker football. I'm your host, Dr. Petey, and this week we're kind of mixing it up a little bit. Greg Smith, Hail Varsity's recruiting expert, is back home in Lincoln, Nebraska, keeping you all caught up on the recruiting trail. Instead, I've got Jacob Padilla joining me this week. Jacob covers football, he covers volleyball, he covers basketball, and he's a cargo shorts enthusiast. He's laughing. Had to sneak that one in there, bud. Sorry. This week, we are podcasting on location in Champaign, Illinois. We're recording this on Thursday? It's Thursday night. Jacob. Yeah, it's a weird week. We got a Friday night football game. Jacob just got done watching the Packers beat the Bears and is fuming over a really illegal, dirty hit on Green Bay, but we don't need to get into that. Nebraska will play a non-bowl game, non-Black Friday, Friday night game for the first time in a long time when it meets Illinois Friday night at 7. Jacob, how are you feeling about Friday night games in the Big Ten in general?
Well, I don't feel as passionate about it as a lot of people do. I don't necessarily think they need to happen, but you look at some other conferences and a lot of other teams do it too. Like USC and Washington State are playing tomorrow night as well. I guess tonight when you're listening to this, most likely. But so it's something that some teams do get, maybe try to get a few extra eyeballs on your game. I don't think Nebraska should do it. There are enough people in the community that feel strongly about it that I think that should kind of weigh out or outweigh the value you'd get from it, because Nebraska at this point you're gonna get the eyeballs no matter what.
Right, and when you get into the exposure side of the argument, Nebraska doesn't need the exposure. Nebraska is a national brand. Nobody really needs the exposure right now with the advent of like watch ESPN, where you can watch 15 games on a Saturday and everybody's got a fire social media Twitter department. Like, you don't really need Friday night games as an exposure. We know Mike Riley isn't a fan of it. We know Illinois has already done it once this season. Last week's game against South Florida was a Friday night game, or 2 weeks ago, excuse me, was a Friday night game. So it'll be interesting to see how both of these teams come out to start the game. Coming up here in a few minutes, you guys are going to hear from Bob Osmussen from the Champaign News Gazette and IlliniHQ.com. You can follow Bob on Twitter. That's at Bob Osmussen, A-S-M-U-S-S-E-N. Get some updates on the Illini as we get ready for this game. Bob and I had a great conversation about Illinois and kind of what to expect out of this Friday night matchup. And we also talked for a little bit about the hire of Dave Remington as Nebraska's interim AD. He had some interesting thoughts on that. You guys are definitely going to want to hear that here in a bit. Jacob, we heard from Dave on Tuesday, and he was upfront about the fact that he's not here for the long term. He's not a permanent option, and he's not here to fire anybody. I just want to get your take. What's he here to actually do? His appointment is for 60 days, up to 60 days, which puts his last day right after the season finale against Iowa. What is he here to do? What do you think he can realistically accomplish in those 60 days?
I honestly have no idea. Even the Chancellor Green talked about how we got to get started right away with just getting him immersed in everything, because not only he's only here for a maximum of 60 days, but he's got to spend a chunk of that learning how to do the job.
Moving down here too.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's living out of New York. He's traveling all the time. So he's not even in Lincoln. So he just got here for his press conference. And so I don't know. During his press conference, he mentioned working with the walk-on program as something that he would like to do, which I don't understand at all. I don't know what his role in that would be. I don't know what exactly Nebraska needs to change about the walk-on program. I think they're doing a pretty good job of it. They get some quality walk-ons every year. You're not going to get the same caliber of guys that maybe you did in the past because of the FCS schools in Wyoming and places like that, but they're doing a pretty darn good job. I think some of the guys they got in this last class are really talented prospects that could potentially turn into players down the road. And we've seen last couple of years guys work their way up from being preferred walk-on. So I think the walk-on program is fine. He mentioned former player relations as something that he would like to accomplish. And I don't know enough about what that is like currently. It seems like Mike Riley and his whole program are pretty open to alumni that want to be around the program. I guess we'd have to ask players themselves how they feel, former players themselves, how they feel about that. But I think overall the biggest thing about hiring Dave Remington is what he said. He's kind of there to calm things down.
Bring a little bit of stability.
It's a total PR win. This is one of the greatest players in your program history, one of the greatest players in college football history. He's a local guy. He's everything he's done. Like anybody you talk to, they love the guy. He's just one of the nicest, kind of right in there with Mike Riley, one of the nicest dudes around, and clearly
Mike
loves
Riley
the
is
program.
Nice. We got another one. Mike Riley is nice.
Yeah. Are you keeping a running tally, or is it something you try to hit every podcast?
We're keeping a running tally at this point. Along with that and hashtag sneaky cool Mike.
Yeah, that was totally natural as well. I had no idea that was going on, so I'm glad I could contribute.
Jacob is a natural with podcasts.
Yeah, but so I think that's kind of more the deal. We'll see what his day-to-day operations are like. How quickly is he going to kind of get in there and start being more hands-on with things and what that entails? But I think the overall, I don't know what he's going to accomplish, but I think, like we said, that's bringing that stability, kind of giving the fans and the people around the program a familiar face to look at and give them a reason to feel good about what's happening. And, hopefully for their sake, I think, that's what they're trying to go for with Dave Remington.
Right. I think feel good about the program. That's a good point. I think that's definitely something that he needs to help improve, because, and we've seen it just in this last these last couple days since he's gotten here, the mood has kind of perked up a little bit, not necessarily within the athletic department, but around the program. People feel a little bit better than maybe they did a week ago, and I think one of the more important things that he's has an opportunity to accomplish here is probably getting some time with Cav and working with the offensive line, or even just talking with those guys a little bit. I don't know, like you said, he's not here. He's not going to be here long enough. I don't know what he can accomplish in terms of long-term tangible things like resurrecting the walk-on program. Jay Moore on Hail Varsity Radio Wednesday had some really good thoughts on that and how FCS programs and smaller Division II schools have kind of poached Nebraska walk-on players over the years, because you can go, you can win a couple championships, you can start and have just as successful of a playing career as you used to be able to at Nebraska. And so I just don't know what he'll really be able to accomplish long-term just in 60 days. I think everybody that looks at this program right now is in agreement that after him, this next hire is one that's going to be one of the more important hires in program history. There's no doubt about that. We know where Nebraska wants to go, and they've got to find the right guy, the right fit, and the right vision to kind of get them there. We're going to take a break here in a second, and you guys are going to hear from head coach Mike Riley on Nebraska's injury situation heading into this game with Illinois. We got to talk to Mike on Wednesday, so you're going to hear him in a second, and then when we get back, we're going to jump right into my chat with Bob from IlliniHQ.com. I keep messing up Illinois and Illini. It keeps happening. We're going to take a break, and we will be back in a minute.
The injury report, I wrote down a list here. I think Stanley Morgan practiced more today than he has. Whether or not he'll be able to go full-time starter like he does when he's healthy, I don't know yet, but he will definitely travel. Brian Reimers, same thing. He's practiced today, which was encouraging. And, you know, in general, if a guy's traveling, I expect that he plays. You know, so Tyron Ferguson is probably still up in the air, but looked good today and felt the best he's felt. Cole Conrad practiced. David Neville practiced. Matt Farniok practiced, although he's limited with the big club. Am I missing anybody? Trey Bryant will not play. Marcus Newby will not play. Kalu will not play.
All right, welcome back in. I've got Bob Osmussen here with me from the News Gazette, covers the Illini. We are going to be talking about the Huskers' Friday night matchup with Illinois. Bob, how's it going, man?
It's great. How about you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's been a long week, an eventful week here in Nebraska. I'm sure you've got some things going on over the last couple of days in Illinois.
Everybody does, seems like.
Yeah. Just kind of getting into this, just first off, Illinois enters this game 2-1. They had a close win over Ball State in the opener. You had a more convincing win over Western Kentucky, and then kind of a lopsided loss to South Florida that wasn't really that lopsided to begin the game. Just wanted to get your general thoughts on the Illini season to this point and how they've looked.
I think they're about where I thought they would be. I thought they'd win the first two. I thought South Florida is a really good team, not a top 10 team, but pretty close after that. So I think they're about where I thought they would be. This game is critical for them because if they have any idea about going to a bowl, they must be in Nebraska on Friday. There's no choice. Because you look at the rest of the schedule, they have Ohio State, Wisconsin. There's a lot of team after team that's going to be hard to beat. So this is one of those games I would put in the must-win category for Illinois. But they're playing okay. A lot of the young guys, as you'll know, I think that there's been 10 freshman starters, three freshmen starting. So that's a big number for anybody, but especially the Big Ten, because those guys normally get beat up pretty bad. So I think we'll see a team that gets better each week because the younger guys grow up. But I think they have some work to do to play a team the level of Nebraska action.
Okay. I'm reading a story, I was just reading a story that you wrote on Illinois quarterback Chase Crouch. He was pulled in the South Florida game. He hasn't had the same interception troubles that Tanner Lee has had with the 9 picks, but he's got 3 this season. How is he approaching this week, just coming off of not playing in the end of the South Florida game and kind of getting ready for Nebraska and the Big Ten?
I think he was disappointed about that. I think when you start a game, you want to finish the game. But I think the coaches made a choice they had to make because he was struggling so bad. Jeff George Jr., the son of the former Illinois quarterback, came in and played well. And I think some people thought that Jeff would start against Nebraska. But I think the coaches made it clear Chase is their guy. Chase is their starter. Telford noticed. So, and Chase, I think, took the right attitude. He decided rather than pout or complain, he went back to work. I think the off week was good for him, really good for him. I think he was able to look at film and say, wait, why did I do that and that and that? So I think it was a good thing. He's one of those guys, he's very competitive, really, really competitive. Guy that talks, if you say something he doesn't like, he challenges you. So he's one of those guys. Really tough kid, a good guy, smart guy. I think he'll be fine coming back. I think he tries to take the team back in charge, and I think he'll do that.
Okay. Nebraska right now has a pretty lengthy injury list, given how, I guess, not early in the season anymore, but, I mean, they've got a lot of guys that are kind of on the pine or questionable for this game. What does the injury situation look like for Illinois right now?
Well, Lovie Smith does not like to share injury information. He'll only tell us if somebody's out for the year, which right now is nobody on this team. They got guys coming back. They're actually pretty healthy. They're about as healthy as they've been. There's a running back named Rich Corbin, who hasn't played all year. He's going to play this week. There's a guy named Gray Brown, another running back who hasn't played all season. He may be back this week. The big one for Illinois was Larry Boyd, a freshman offensive lineman who started 2 of the first 3 games. He got rolled his ankle against South Florida late. But it sounds like he's going to play. He's ready to go. Bobby Smith did say Larry's ready to play. Larry is going to be a guy down the road. He's going to be a great player. He's not there yet. Right now, he's a guy that I'm my defensive coordinator on the other side, and I'm taking advantage of him. But he's a guy that's going to play well over time.
Okay. 2 years ago, Nebraska and Illinois met in Champaign. Illinois scoreless heading into the fourth quarter, and then they pull out the upset on Nebraska. What does Illinois have to do this year to pull out another win?
Well, it's pretty easy to me. Win the turnover battle, which is always a Lovie Smith thing. He talks about it all the time. He pounds his pissed about it, he's mad about it, he wants them to get the most turnovers. If they do that, I think they'll win this game. I think it's possible. That last year, they didn't get a lot of picks. That was the problem. But fumbles were pretty common for them. They need to do that. They need to make sure they take care of the ball. And that game against South Florida was so sloppy on both sides. The penalties were so crazy. So they can't do that again. They can't have false starts and holding penalties and late hits and those type of things. So they've got a lot of work to do that way. But if they win the turnover battle, I think they'll have a chance to win the game.
What is their defense better up front in the front seven, or is the strength the back half?
I would say probably up front. I think linebacker is pretty strong right now, which makes sense given the history of the school. But they're pretty good up there. The freshmen, they got some freshmen playing the defensive end that are really good. How good they're going to be long term, it's hard to say at this point. They're a little undersized. There's some great qualities. They've got great bursts. I think the defensive line is pretty good. The linebacker is, like I said, solid. The secondary is suspect. Not suspect so much, but more young. Big freshman playing a lot. That's hard to do.
Okay. I know Nebraska, maybe they're finding their identity a little bit in terms of they need to run the ball and win on the ground. Do you see this game being kind of who can establish their identity at the line of scrimmage first, who can be more effective on the ground? Do you see this being like a smash-mouth Big Ten-style football game, or is this going to be one of those where it kind of opens up a little bit and we see which quarterback can make a play?
No, I think you're right. I think smash-mouth. I think Illinois is going to try to run the ball. They've not had great success all the time, but Mike Epstein's playing pretty well. And the teams are able to run against Illinois. You saw that with South Florida. I think Nebraska will be able to run the ball some. The question is, can Illinois put Nebraska in some third and long situations early in the game and get off the field early, which has been a problem for Illinois, too. So I think it's going to be a lower-scoring game. I think Illinois is going to win, but I think they're going to win a really close, lower-scoring game.
Okay. And yeah, third down has been kind of key for Nebraska this year. When they've had third and long, they haven't been able to get off the field. So I think that might be a good place to kind of watch where that battle is won and be a good indicator for kind of which side is going to pull out that victory.
I agree. I think it's a great point.
So when the conference announced these Friday night games last year, there was blowback from coaches and high school and everything. And I get the money and I get the TV deal and the exposure and all of that. Talking to Mike Riley, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like the short week. Doesn't like that it takes away from high school football and all that. This is not Illinois' first Friday night game. They've already played a Friday night game against South Florida. What are their thoughts on the nature of these games? Does Lovey like it? Does the team like it?
I think Lovey Smith will go where he's told to go. So we're playing Friday. He'll go on Friday. Which, right, the short week, which Illinois does not have. Last week it was an open week, so they haven't had two full weeks to prepare. They're fine. He's fine. But if it was a short week for Lovey, I'm sure he'd be mad. He doesn't mind sharing that kind of thing. But yeah, I think generally he's going to want to have Friday Fridays because that's when high schools play. So unless high schools start playing on Saturdays, I don't think Lovey's going to be too happy about interrupting their schedule. The other thing is, from a recruiting standpoint, you got guys who like to be out Friday night watching guys play. Well, they're playing at the same time as you. You don't have that option. That'll hurt recruiting long term for Illinois other schools. So I think generally people here don't really like it.
Okay. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm okay with it. I think once in a while it's fine. I don't think I want to see a bunch of them. I don't think every Friday would be good, but I think once or twice a year is fine. Thursday games, I think, same thing. Once or twice a year is fine. Thursdays are better in a lot of ways because the high schools really don't play that. So I think Thursdays are preferable. Illinois really rarely had Thursday games. So I think down the road, that would be the way I'd want to go if I was them.
Right. And I know coming from a Big 12 school, there were Thursday night games all the time. I don't think there's been a Friday night game in the Big 12, but Thursday night games get weird, man. I'm telling you. You go up to Ames for a Thursday night and Iowa State and then games get weird.
That's good. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah. Those are always the best atmospheres for college football.
Oh, yeah. But you mentioned it. The great thing is the exposure. So if you're in Illinois, Nebraska, you're on Friday night, there's one other game. There's a good game, another game. But you're on national TV with a lot of people being able to watch you. That's a good thing. Problem is the high school kids can't watch you because they're playing too. So that's kind of a dual-edged thing there. But I think generally there's some positive and negative on all this stuff.
Right. And that's a good point on the recruiting side of things. I don't think I've really thought of that up until this point, but that's a good point. Earlier this week, Nebraska, or just yesterday really, Nebraska made a move, hired Dave Remington, a former Husker legend and center, as their interim athletic director. I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on, if you had any initial thoughts on that hire and how you view Nebraska as a brand right now and kind of moving forward. Everybody in Nebraska wants them to kind of get back to the glory days, so to speak. And if you think the hire in Remington, even just as an interim position, is kind of a step in the right direction for them.
Well, I think what you want to hire an interim coach is somebody that loves the school, which clearly he does. I think that happened with Tom Osborne. I think it happened here. The AD here is not interim, but he's Josh Whitman played here. When you have those guys play here, they feel different about the way going forward. I think what Nebraska wants, probably needs now, is somebody with their roots, somebody that understands what's like to win titles, what's like to play great football at a high level. And they haven't had that for 20 years now, right? Correct? For 99, it was a lot to conference title. Is that correct?
Yeah, yep.
That's a long time ago.
Haven't had success in a century.
They don't like that. I think they can get back. Maybe not all the way back, but they can get pretty far back. I drew the parallel the other day to Alabama. Remember, before Nick Saban, Alabama was like Nebraska's been. They were down. They couldn't find the right guy. They kept going through coaches, and they tried big names, small names, young guys, old guys. It didn't work. They couldn't find the right guy. But they got the right guy. They won title after title. I think the same thing can happen to Lincoln. It's just got to be the right person. I'm not sure who that person is. Maybe they'd like to figure out who that person is. But given all that, they have great tradition there, of course. The great fans. They got a great state, great school. There are so many things in their favor. I think all you got to do is plug the right person in, and you're back winning games again at high level. So I think it's very possible there. I don't know who that person is. That's an obvious person to me. The first person I thought of when I heard he was getting fired was Scott Frost. It made a lot of sense to me to bring him in. He knows the school. He won the title. He's a great player. Great coach, so he would be obvious to me because he gets it. So we'll see what happens. First thing that you see is what happens with Mike Riley the rest of the year, and you're going to think you're going to be able to keep him the rest of his season and see what he can do. I feel really bad for him because my interaction with him has been wonderful, and I think most people there love him or like him at least. And it's kind of unfortunate how this all worked out.
Yeah, you know, Mike definitely has a really good reputation around college football community and hasn't been put in the best of positions, but talking to Remington at his introductory press conference, he said, look, I'm not here to fire anybody. I'm here to kind of calm things down, kind of reset everything. And that might be good for Mike moving forward. Just he doesn't have to worry about that until the end of the season. He can just focus on coaching football. I will say you will be a very, very popular man in Lincoln when people hear the comparison to Nick Saban in Alabama.
Well, I think that's real. I really believe that because they kept hiring the wrong guy. They just couldn't. Mike Shula was a good coach, but couldn't get it done. I think if you find the right guy, I think very similar situations because the Alabama before Saban was really down. They were never quite right. Now they got right again. So this can happen again. I think, given all the advantages they have in Lincoln, plus the fact that everybody cares so much about football there, they don't have that here in Illinois. There's not going to be 90,000 people to the game this week. I promise that. Maybe not in three games. So it's a different deal. I think people there probably should understand that everybody wishes they were like you. Probably, as I did.
Right. Definitely a lot of advantages that the program has in moving forward. So you're definitely right. They just got to find kind of the right person to move that program forward.
Right. Now know who that is. Yeah.
Yep. Last thing I want to get from you before I let you go, I want to get a prediction. I think you hinted at it a little bit earlier, but just a prediction on how you think this game plays out.
I've already written it in the paper, 21-17. I'm making an Illinois win in close game. I think I had pick six late in the game for Illinois to win it, kind of being funny. But I think Illinois will, again, having that extra week to prepare will help them. Nebraska's on the short week, so that could be a problem. So I think Illinois is ready to play this game. I think quarterback will be, situation will be better. I think they'll win close game again. Now, I won't be surprised if it goes the other way either. So it's really pretty much a toss-up to me.
Yeah. At this point, I think we're kind of just hoping for a good game and a good atmosphere, and it seems like that's what we're going to get on Friday night.
That's right. Let's hope so.
Yeah. All right, Bob. Want to give a shout-out or a plug or anything for Twitter or your paper before you go?
Yeah. NIHQ.com is where we are. And Bob Osmussen at Twitter. So there you go.
Fantastic. All right, man. Well, we'll hopefully see you on Friday night when we get to the stadium. It's good talking with you. Thanks for giving me some of your time. I really appreciate the insight.
Anytime. Thanks a lot.
Yep. All right. Have a good one.
Some great stuff from Bob there. I think it's definitely possible Nebraska gets back to those roots and has kind of like a Nick Saban, aha, we won the world now moment. But that means Mike Riley's getting canned sometime in the next year or two because, I mean, Mike Riley's not that head coach, at least you don't think, and Nebraska's hiring someone new in that scenario. And in that scenario, they absolutely have to find the perfect guy for this team moving forward to kind of have their Nick Saban. That's definitely on the optimistic end of the spectrum. And Jacob just informed me that I have been saying his name wrong. It's Padilla, not Padilla. So I am a trash human being, and it's Jacob Padilla, not Padilla. So I suck. But we already knew that.
Well, I mean, if that's the standard, then there are a lot of people in this world that suck because almost everybody says my name that way the first week. Because, I mean, that's exactly what it looks like. It looks like Padilla.
Now he's trying to make me feel better. Padilla.
Hey, Schmitty referred to me on as Padilla the first several times that I went on Hill Varsity Radio, so you're not alone.
Schmitty's pronunciation is great, though. You get to talk to him. We love Schmitty. Schmitty, if you're listening to this, we love you. Okay, so Mike Riley has not been fired, though.
He has not.
He's still here. We still got 8 football games left to be played this season. We got this one against Illinois. Before we close things out on this podcast, Jacob, what do you see happening in this game, and who wins?
I think that Nebraska is going to win here. If they don't, then things are not going to be great around Lincoln. Practices next week are not going to be fun. The questions that will come out after the game. The last time I was here in Champaign 2 years ago, my first year with Hill Varsity, came up here. Rainy, windy day, just kind of miserable weather. Nebraska goes out and gives the game away, passes it on third down so they can't run out the clock, and Illinois marches down the field and scores a touchdown after like 5 pass interference calls in the end zone.
Ripping people's heart out again.
Yeah, sorry, flashback there, but Illinois won 14-13. So here we are 2 years later. Here we are 2 years later, and Nebraska can't allow that to happen again, and I don't think they will. I don't think they took a big step forward last week. I think that was more Rutgers being terrible than Nebraska fixing anything. But at the same time, Illinois is pretty terrible too. What we saw last week was Rutgers, their quarterback was not good enough to beat Nebraska. And looking at Chase Crouch and even the backup dude, whoever they throw out there at quarterback for Illinois,
going to be Chase Crouch.
Yeah. I don't think he's good enough either. I think Nebraska will win. It'll probably be something pretty similar to last week, honestly. I think I picked 30-16 for that score. And I'm probably looking at something somewhere that 31-17, somewhere in that range for this week.
Listen, I have no idea what to do with this game. I have no clue. This could be another 14-13 Illinois win like you talked about 2 years ago. Sorry, everybody. It could be a 24-21 Nebraska win. It could be a 21-17 or 27-17 win like it was last week. I would not be the least bit surprised, though, if the Huskers just randomly exploded and Tanner Lee said, screw this with all the drama and all the noise going on around him and went out and hung like 40 points on Illinois, right? Like, we've seen them do that before. They averaged 40 through the first 2 weeks of the season, and then this offense kind of just became a shell of what it was, and I'm waiting for them to come out of it. And, like, I'm sitting here saying that, and I'm also thinking that at the same time, if Tanner goes out and has a bad first half, if he lays an egg, put Patrick O'Brien in for the second half, right? Like, what do you have to lose at that point? You're kind of running out of time with Wisconsin, Ohio State, and the meat of your schedule coming up. These two games are really, Rutgers and Illinois, what you had to experiment with in terms of finding things out offensively, and you're kind of running out of time. So I'm not sure what we're going to get, but I think in our Friday forecast I said 24-23 Nebraska, so I guess I'm going to stick with that.
I'm going to go out on the record. Tanner Lee does not throw a pick six in this game, all right? He does not. He might throw an interception, maybe two, maybe four. None of them will get returned for a touchdown.
The fact that we have to, like, that, like, that's a bold prediction, like, that should tell you how this season has gone so far. That's going to do it for this week. Jacob, thanks for hopping on this week with me. I appreciate it. Shout out to you guys for continuing to listen and put up with my nonsense. Make sure to leave us some feedback if you're enjoying this or you want to see something done differently. Make sure to keep it with HailVarsity.com. It's at HailVarsity on Twitter. Keep it here through the weekend for all of your coverage needs on the Huskers. I'm Derek. That's Jacob. This is Views from the Other Side, and we'll talk to you next week.